enthusiasm. I need something more than some deadpan yawn. Come on, Alvy. Reset yourself, man. Get in the game, yo. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but you know better than bring that to work. Come on, man. How many years have you worked here?
That is ridiculous.
You know my favorite thing about Alvy is, I mean, where do I start? But my favorite thing is that he won't communicate with me directly. He just fires off sound bites.
Thank you, Alvin.
I need you to improve your energy, please. That is ridiculous. It's actually not, or I wouldn't have brought it up. I need something more than a deadpan. You're on. Yeah, I know, Alvin. Hey, Alvin, let me ask you something. What if I hosted the show with your attitude? Welcome back. I'm on. Hey, I'm Jim Rome. All right, Alvy. That's all it took, man. You just had to reset yourself. We start hour number two. It's going to be a good hour. Kalen DeBoer is going to join me in 20 minutes from right now. I'm looking for reaction. Like, how can you not have a take on what you saw last night? First round was wild. The takes should be forming themselves. Like, you don't have to think that hard about what you saw last night. All you have to do is get on the phone, hit me up, dial the digits, I'll put you on the air, everybody will hear you, and then you can go into your weekend knowing that you accomplished something. Put yourself out there. 1-800-636-8686. Kalen DeBoer coming up next segment. I've got the big head, James Kelly. He and I will shift gears and talk NBA and pick the three games tonight. That's at the top of hour number three. Alvin, should his attitude improve, will have the week that was. He's a pro. He'll be ready. He'll get it done. That's coming up in the third hour.
Yes.
There is. He's already back. And the ATP also coming up in hour number three. So let me give you some more thoughts on what I saw last night. The Falcons may not be newcomers, but they definitely stole the show. I'll wait for it, Alvy. Dude, where's your head today? Seriously. The hell is going on? I just let you off the hook. Right. Waiting. Let me try it again, Alvy. The Falcons may not be newcomers, but they definitely stole the show. The hell is the matter with you, dude? You can't find her? Is Mystery Mike running the board? What are you doing back there, dude? Tommy.
Steal the show.
Thank you, Alvin. Today would be great. Today would be just great, Alvin. Way to get that drop in the same hour. Dude, normally you come up with a drop before I even think it. What are you doing back there, dude? Tommy, I need you for a minute, since he's in a bad way. The hell is going on back there on the other side of the glass?
You know how his Fridays are.
Yeah, but not usually this bad. Oh, yeah, no problem finding that.
It's draft Friday. It's chaotic. Last night was a late night. It's a lot. This was an early morning.
That's right.
I'm just trying to cover for the dude. And, like, I care about any of that? What, none of that impacted me? I didn't have a late night?
I did eventually find it.
Yeah, all right, anyway.
That's right.
Well, way to cover your dude's back. Way to stick together. I like that. All right, anyway, what I was trying to say is the Falcons may not be newcomers, but they definitely stole the show. But I don't want to shortchange the rest of the teams with new quarterbacks because pretty... Anyway, I'll just go back to doing whatever the hell you were doing. I'll handle this. Pretty exciting day for a lot of fan bases, right? I mentioned I think it's a great, great day for the Bears. A great day for the Bears. How many times can you say that when it comes to the Bears drafting a quarterback? Great day for the Bears. I think it's a great day for the Commanders. I think they got a great, great quarterback. Now, as far as the Patriots go, if you listen to Bill Belichick and you listen to Bucky Brooks, maybe it's not the best day ever. Vikings have an interesting day. Broncos have an interesting day. Time will tell. As far as Minnesota goes, I mean, I don't know. In one sense, you might say, hey, good on you, Minnesota. Sam Darnold is no longer your best option at quarterback. Well, maybe he still is. If you're a Viking fan, hopefully he's not. Let me put it to you this way. At least there might be some hope for the future in J.J. McCarthy. Why do I say that? Well, if I take Jim Harbaugh's word for it, because Harbaugh believes that McCarthy is Tom Brady Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Montana all rolled into one. How is Darnold supposed to compete with that? JJ!
JJ!
There you go, Alvin. Welcome back. JJ!
JJ!
JJ, you could not have landed in a better spot than you did. What a great spot for a quarterback. A great spot for a quarterback. Now let's just hope that you can be a fraction of what Harbaugh thinks you are. It's kind of funny because Harbaugh's making this guy out to be like the greatest quarterback ever. As I mentioned, Harbaugh's making this guy out to be Brady, Mahomes, and Montana all rolled into one. And the reason I find that so funny is because Harbaugh actually doesn't ask very much of his quarterbacks at all, right? Why do you think teams were actually calling the Chargers to see if Justin Herbert was available? I mean, how asinine is that? Hey, are you guys interested in trading Justin Herbert, a top five quarterback? No. Click. The hell are you doing bothering me with that? Because look who their coach is. He obviously does not ask very much of his quarterback. Thereby, there were teams thinking, he probably doesn't even think he needs Justin Herbert. Do you think anybody would waste their time calling about Justin Herbert if anybody other than Jim Harbaugh was the head coach? Of course not. And of course, he took an offensive lineman. Charger fans like, hey man, they're skill players. They're wide receivers. They're wide receivers. Like Harbaugh was going to take a wide receiver first. I mean, come on. More on that pick and his girlfriend in a minute. Also, Denver. I mean, in a way, congrats, Denver. You no longer have the worst quarterback room on paper in NFL history. At least I hope you don't. I mean, you still might. I like Bo Nix. And I like Bo Nix for the reasons that Bucky Brooks laid out. That the guy's gone through a lot of adversity. He's come out the other end. And apparently, dude is really, really quick. Really, really sharp. Mentally, like, on it. Like, when the Denver Broncos sent him some things to look over for their meeting with him, he shows up and he nailed everything, apparently. Reportedly, he nailed everything. And they were so impressed with how quickly he was able to process things. Alvin, heads up. I know you're not in the mood, Alvin. I really don't care that you're not in the mood, Alvin. I'll be honest with you. Here comes a heads up. Remember when Sean Payton came on this show, and I'm going to speak very slowly, Alvy, so maybe you can kind of read where I'm going. Remember when Sean Payton came on this show the week of Super Bowl? I asked him, what are you looking for in a quarterback? Not only did he say, hold up, that I need a quarterback who can process information quickly, he used a great analogy about quarterbacks getting behind the wheel of a new car and knowing where everything is and how everything works. Remember?
I think it's important that they're quick processors. Let me give you an example. And this was a strength of Drew's. It's a strength of Mahomes. During any given play in 7 seconds, he's going to point out the mic ID. He's going to send the receiver in motion. He's going to alert the back here for a check down. And he's going to alert Kelsey. It's cover zero. Like, he's a guy that gets in the car. And I'm the opposite now, right? I've got this new car. No, I'm dead serious,
no,
though.
No, I know where you're going with this. That's why I'm laughing.
I've got this new car, right? And I know how to turn the radio on. I get to my auto, 72 degrees, whatever that is, and I drive. All right? I never have it in. And these guys
will you don't go through your driving progression?
No, these guys will
your heat, driving tree?
They'll heat the back seats if you need it. They'll adjust. They get to the 50 buttons that are available. Heat warmers, seat warmers. I have no idea where my seat warmer is, but I know I have one.
Right.
These guys got to be able to operate quickly in 6 or 7 seconds. It's the hardest thing for us to evaluate.
So to me, Sean Payton laying out what he's looking for in a quarterback is borderline erotic. Like, that's fun. And then him admitting that he himself cannot do that, and when he sits down in his car, he can't even find the seat warmer, is also borderline erotic. That's kind of funny, too.
Borderline erotic.
I think that he sees those things in Bo Nix. Now, again, everybody is a draft expert. Everybody is a draft analyst. And it's easy to say Bo Nix is a solid guy and a solid player and a solid dude, but a reach at number 12. Easy to say that. And you might even be right if you say that. But it seems to me Sean Payton thinks that Bo Nix is one of those guys who can sit in a brand new car and know where everything is. Like, Bo Nix is one of those guys who not only can sit in a brand new car and know where everything is, he could get in the cockpit of an airplane and know what every single button engage means.
I think that's why he took him there.
So what I know is this. I know Minnesota and Denver both needed quarterbacks badly, so they both got aggressive with it because they were desperate. At least they got their guys. Maybe not their guys, but they got guys. They got quarterbacks. Six of them went in the first 12 picks. So when the music stopped, you know who was left without a chair. Looking at you, Raider Nation. AKA. And Bucky did say, I love that pick. Good pick. But if they were looking for a quarterback, they were actually big losers. At least in the game of quarterback musical chairs. Now, it's not all bad, Raider Nation. You could still get one tonight. Or one tomorrow. But I can't say a day two or day three quarterback plus Aiden O'Connell, and as much as I love him, Gardner Minshew, would have been Antonio Pierce's dream scenario. Probably closer to a nightmare scenario, actually. But maybe not. Maybe not. You did get a good tight end, right? It'd be nice if you had a good quarterback to get that good tight end the ball. But as much of a nightmare scenario as that might be, it's not as bad of a nightmare scenario potentially as this one. Bills Mafia looking directly at you now. Bills Mafia. Tell me I'm off base on this. My spidey sense is tingling. And it tells me you pissed. It tells me you're not happy at all. And, well, I mean, you're pissed off generally these days. But I know you're peeved at how things went down last night. Because not only did the Bills pass on a chance to pick a wideout to replace the Stephon Diggs-sized hole in their offense, but they traded out of the first round. So maybe you're like, what's going on? What are we doing here? Not only did you not take that wide receiver, not only did you trade out of the first round, you traded the pick to your bitter, hated arch rival, Kansas City. And right when you think that can't get any worse, your bitter, hated arch rival, Kansas City, went ahead and selected the fastest player in the draft in Texas star wide receiver, Xavier Worthy. Oops, excuse me, my bad. That's wild, right?
My bad, my friend.
So
I'm
just
sorry.
Reset that. The Bills trade away Diggs. Then they trade out of a first round that is stacked with stud wide receivers. They move that first round pick to their biggest rival who owns them. That rival then turns around and picks one of those stud wide receivers. I mean, again, I'm not rushing to judgment on any of this because we'll see how it all works out, how it all plays out. But right now, the optics on that one are also really bad. I want to shout out to Rick in Buffalo right now.
Who loves you, baby?
Mostly because I want to check to see that his head did not blow right off his neck and take orbit. Again, it's not like Buffalo can't still get a really solid receiver tonight or this weekend. But it's just more bad optics for a beat up, beaten down Bills Mafia. And Brandon Bean better hope that Mahomes to Worthy does not become a thing. Mahomes to Worthy does not become the new money connection in the NFL. Because then it doesn't matter what any of the rest of the picks are. He's going to have a really hard time living that down. That best not be the way that goes. Bills Mafia, where are you? You absolutely should have a take. Do you have faith that they know what they're doing and that that was the right move? Or were you like, holy hell, what just happened? The Chiefs? We're really doing deals with the Chiefs? we just signed or we just moved a pick to the team that we cannot beat, and they signed a wide receiver that we need? All right, when we come back, I think he ran like a 3.440. Is that fast? Kevin DeBoer coming up next. You know what you want to do? When your feet hit the ground in the morning and you roll out of the rack, you want to feel good. Like, you want to wake up like, let's go. And you will if you're feeling good. Because that affects everything. The rest of your day, the rest of your week, pretty much your life overall. Relief Factor knows this. Relief Factor is a natural way to help fight pain. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. It is 100% drug-free. And it was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. Now, myself, as Justin Fields accurately pointed out, I'm not a big weight guy, but I'm a big cardio guy. And I know it may come as a shock, but, you know, I hit that cardio hard. I kind of feel stiff, not moving around so well sometimes. Don't always bounce back, especially as I've gotten a little bit older. Relief Factor actually helps me feel great. I take it every single day. And you'll find out in 3 weeks or less whether or not it works for you. In 3 weeks or less, you will feel the difference all day, every day. Over 1 million people already have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
You know the beauty of radio. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Some of you clones, and I appreciate it so much, are diehards. Like, there's a small minority of you that listen to every minute of every show. How you do that, I really don't know, but I appreciate it. I also understand that because we have research and analysis that would suggest that many of you listen to the show X amount of minutes a day. Thereby, you may miss something that I said. If I do something in hour number one, you might have missed hour number one. So if I don't reset it in hour number two, then you would have missed it. And it might be some really good stuff. As an example, B-Web, Brian Weber. I want to reset something that I mentioned in hour number one about Brian Weber. I mentioned that on social, Brian Weber got off this amazing line. All right, before I get there, Jarrah, we're talking about draft picks. And I mentioned that the Bills Mafia can't be happy about what they saw last night. Then you have Jarrah. The Bills trade out of their pick. Jarrah also traded out of his pick at number 24. And he went back to number 29 to take gigantic offensive lineman Tyler Guyton, which of course means the Cowboys became the 29th best team in the NFL with that trade. They entered the draft as the 24th best team in the NFL, according to Jarrah. But by moving back five spots, they actually finished the evening the 29th best team in the NFL, at least according to whatever whacked out rules that Jarrah is playing by these days.
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time, because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
My man, it sounds like you left 80% of yourself on Bourbon Street.
20%
or at least 100% of your brain. Wow.
Done.
That's embarrassing, honestly. Really embarrassing. But I'm not sure that it's any more embarrassing than the NFL paying off Eminem to sports wash Roger Goodell. That's not my line, but I wish it were. Jungle legend, fill-in guest host, Brian Weber, on the X platform last night, check out B-Web with the straight fire. Check out B-Web getting nice. I mean, I laughed out loud when I read this. At B.W. Weber, the NFL paying off Eminem to sports wash Goodell is an interesting choice.
Laugh out loud.
Right, if by interesting you mean lame and cringe as hell. It didn't even work. They still booed the hell out of you, Roger. They still hate you no matter who you drag up there as a human shield, my dude. And that's what you did. You brought Eminem up there as a human shield, and it didn't work.
We waited 6 years to say this. Welcome to the NFL draft in Detroit.
Detroit. My man, you could do 106 more drafts, and you'll still be awkward and cringy as hell. How is that guy not getting better at that? But then again, if you know that there's 50,000 people waiting to boo you whenever you show up anywhere, you probably would be a little skittish.
To the NFL draft in Detroit.
Nice try, though. Nice try paying off Eminem to, quote, sports wash you. That didn't work. They're going to hate you no matter what. I can't believe this guy dragged that guy up there as a human shield. I do believe that it didn't work. I knew it wouldn't. Raj, you could have Barry Sanders and Megatron carry you in on your shoulders. Their shoulders, I should say, waving Roger Goodell flags, and they still would have booed the hell out of you. You could have climbed up on Wayne Fonce's shoulders, and they still would have booed the hell out of you. Roger taking heat is just an automatic part of this experience every single year, as well it should be. Now, that I get, that I expect. What I don't get, and I do expect, follow me on that, I don't get this. I've come to expect it, but I don't get this. Why does somebody's girlfriend always have to take heat? I know why the commissioner takes heat, but why does some anonymous, random girlfriend always get roasted? She's just there to support her guy. It's messed up. Every year, somebody's girlfriend goes viral and gets absolutely roasted. It's like, I don't even know why any of these significant others even show up for the draft anymore, because they have to do the math. They have to think to themselves at this point, it's going to happen to one of us. One of us is going to get roasted. I don't want it to be me. Hey, babe, I need you there. I want you there. I don't want to be there without you. Yeah, but I don't want to become a meme either, big boy. So we'll be together, and I'll support you in any way I can. But you're not the one who's getting memed. I am. Because one of us is. Both of our lives are going to change dramatically in one moment. One for the good and one for the bad. One of our lives are going to get made, and one of us is going to get memed. No thank you. No thank you. I think I'll stay home. It happens every single year. You know, why put yourself in that line of fire? Can y'all leave Joe Alt's girlfriend alone already? I mean, no. She did look a little beleaguered. She did look a little...
Thanks, Joe.
I mean, I don't even know what it was. I don't know. She looked beleaguered, befuddled. It was a little awkward. Some might argue that she looked like she'd been taken hostage. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. Perplexed. Maybe that's her normal look. Whatever it is. The poor thing. Stupefied. That's a good word. She looked a little stupefied. I mean, I don't know why. It's not like we didn't know that Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers weren't going to take an offensive lineman. And this guy's a damn good offensive lineman. Arguably the best one on the board. But you knew somebody was going to take some, and it was going to be a girlfriend. And unfortunately, the meme stopped on her. I just don't get it. She kind of had a look on her face, though, I got to admit. Like she just heard Harbaugh's smack-off call for the first time. Now, that might actually make sense. Not that she had that look because Harbaugh selected her man, but rather because she heard Harbaugh on the Rome smack-off. That would make sense. I'd have a freaked-out face, too.
Romy, it's good to be on the smack-off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call, and I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday. And I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday and day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind on their child support payments, like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
Joe's like, babe, what's the matter? We're going to Cali. We're going to a great team. I'm going to block for Justin Herbert. This is going to be amazing. Yeah, I don't know. Did you hear your coach? Did you hear him on Rome Smackoff? What's going on about Fuzzy and Tiger? And he has no smack for the Smackoff? You going to play for that guy? Anyway, leave the girlfriends alone. They don't deserve the meme treatment. They're just there to support their man.
Please.
All right, when we come back, actually, Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer in the 1040 slot. So that's coming up next segment. And then if all goes as planned, we will have a conversation with him. And then we'll roll that right into the top of hour number three. And then have what should amount to be, I wouldn't say a conversation, but some kind of weird caveman communication with that rock thrower, James Kelly. And we'll sift and weave our way through whatever he does to the English language to get his picks on tonight's game. Listen, if they cash, that's all that matters. You ready for that, caveman? See you at the top of the hour. Right now, here is a sports update. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you. Rolling right through that Friday episode. Great to have you here. I'm live in Southern California, and I'm very pleased to say, if you're on hold, stay there. Right now, I am pumped. We are joined by the head football coach at Alabama. He was hired on January 12th. He previously was the head coach at Washington for the 2 years prior. He went 25-3 overall. Last year, he led the Huskies to a school record 14 wins, the Pac-12 championship, and an appearance in the national championship game. He was the 2023 Associated Press National Coach of the Year and the 2022 and 2023 Pac-12 Coach of the Year. We are joined right now by Kalen DeBoer. Kalen, it is awesome to have a chance to get caught up with you. How are things, Kalen?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Jim. Always a pleasure to be on your show. But yeah, we're doing great here in Alabama.
Man, it is so great to hear you in Alabama. Kalen, like, what a wild ride this has been. Weren't you and I talking Fresno State Bulldog football like 5 minutes ago? And I got to ask that. And then now that you're all in Tuscaloosa and you're all about this thing, does it all feel pretty normal to you? Or do you have moments even yourself where you think, man, am I really living and working in Tuscaloosa, coaching where Nick Saban and Bear Bryant coached?
Yeah, it has gone fast. That's for sure. It wasn't that long. We were talking, Fresno State football. But I think what really happens is the work becomes the work, and you just maybe pinch yourself when you get the opportunity to take the job, and you understand again everything that's been a part of this great program. But once you get into the office for the first minutes and the work is there, and you're starting to build your team, and it becomes where you're at and what you do. And so it's been an awesome 3 to 4 months here building the staff, building this team, and spring ball was awesome. And, you know, we're getting ready now for the summer and the next step before we get into fall camp.
We are talking to Kalen DeBoer. I was going to ask you about spring ball. One more thing about that. I mean, listen, you're a winner. You were in the national championship game last year. You know exactly what you signed up for. You know who you're following, but you also know that you've got a supreme belief in your own abilities and your own process. And there really is nothing like Tuscaloosa. So my question is, when Bama calls, do you just have to come, or was there much more that went into that decision than that? What was your process?
Yeah, you know, everything did happen really fast, you know, within really about 24 hours. And so I think still, though, I was at a really good place and, you know, loved working at Washington. It's an amazing, you know, university. Program, obviously, with the success we've had there. But I think, you know, what I really enjoyed was the conversation with Greg Byrne, our athletic director, and hearing his vision, hearing his passion, the things he was, you know, wanting to continue to do, and knowing that you had someone you could really, like, lock arms with and, you know, continue to build on the program and everything that Coach Saban had done, you know, up to this point. And so, you know, I really felt that fit was there. You know, I've been in enough different parts of the country, not necessarily right here in the Southeast, but, you know, been enough places to where I felt like I could adapt fairly easily. And, you know, being at a place like Alabama where, you know, football is just so important. And, you know, even on top of that, though, everything just being done in a first-class way, still an extremely high level and strong emphasis on academics and just you know, the development of the person, you know, not just the player on the football field. It was a great fit.
Alabama head football coach Kalen DeBoer joins us once again. So you mentioned spring ball. I'm curious, what was it like to take the field for that spring game and have that packed stadium? Had you ever experienced anything quite like that before? And then what did that feel like?
Yeah, not for a spring game, that's for sure. it was just really cool. You know, just everything from seeing the guys do the walk into the locker room and getting a somewhat of a feel. I know it's going to be on another level come this fall, but getting a feel of what game day environment's going to be like. Our fan base just, you know, showed up, showed out, and it was a really fun day for these guys. And, you know, I was happy for them because they've been through a lot, you know, Coach Saban, and that transition from, you know, with the guys. There's a lot of noise around the program, especially there in January, and they just really stayed the course, you know, and just weathered through it. And here we are, you know, being able to showcase in the spring game, you know, what they've done and how far they've really come along. And I'm certainly proud of the direction we're going. We're not there yet, but we're in a good spot, that's for sure.
We're talking to Kalen DeBoer, the head coach at Alabama. You know, you mentioned the transition the players had to go through, and of course there's going to be that great transition. Judging from the reaction last night on social media, Nick working as a TV analyst and not being the head coach there is still a little surreal to some. I'm curious, in terms of transition, what about the transition from him to you? Like, for instance, how well did you know Nick before you became his successor, and what kind of an interaction have you had with him since you took that job?
Well, you know, other than just everything I'd always seen from afar, Coach and I had never, you know, really had an interaction. You know, we played here in 2017. I was an assistant. That would be about the closest as far as being on a field or anything like that that I had ever been to Coach Saban. But he's again, I say it this way. I think there's been one time where he hasn't picked up the phone, and within about 5 minutes, he was calling me back. So I'm assuming he was busy. You know, he's just been so open to anything I've needed, you know, and early on, a lot of calls and questions and just advice just on certain things. And then, you know, that our staff, he's just been open to them as well. A few guys have gone over and met with him, you know, where he's at with his office. And it's been awesome. And he's been, you know, so respectful. You know, I consider this our program. And when I say our, it's every alum, it's every coach, head coach, assistant coach that's made this place great. Of course, the fan base. So, you know, he's made our program special, and he's respected, you know, me coming in as a new leader, maybe been over the top on that respect, just trying to give us the space. But I also want he and everyone who's been a part of this to know that they're always going to have this opportunity to be here whenever they want as well.
I'm not going to lie. I'm loving talking Alabama football right now. Kalen DeBoer joins me for a few more moments. I know you're looking ahead, but I've got to ask you about last night. The first big wow of the first round was your former quarterback, Michael Penix, going to the Atlanta Falcons at number 8. What was your reaction when you saw that? And then how do you think his skill set will translate to the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like he's completely 100% deserves to be picked in that, you know, in those spots, whether it's the Falcons or anyone. I'm just, you know, he's that level of a player. He's that level of a person. He's a guy you can build a team around. I know we did that at the college level. I understand the NFL is a whole different animal, but he's built for that. You know, through all the things he's been through adversity wise, he's just got a maturity about him. And then, you know, translating his game to the NFL, I completely feel like it does. You know, you can make all the throws, you know, at the college level, that hash throw to the opposite sideline, down the field. You know, you need touch. You know, you need to transfer some weight and rip it. He can do it all, you know, and he's got a great head on his shoulders. He processes things quickly. I could go on and on. He's the ultimate team player. You just know that he's constantly thinking about ways where he can, you know, do special things for his teammates. You know, whatever it might be, he's going to do it. And I'm super excited. I think his game translates over to the NFL very well.
Kalen DeBoer joining us. So leave me with this thought and take a moment, if you don't mind. Wide receiver Rome Odunze was taken by the Bears with the 9th pick. Kalen, I spoke with him on Wednesday, and although I already loved him as a player, I realized pretty quickly he is every bit as good a dude as he is a baller. I don't play favorites, but I'm just going to say it. I think he's my favorite guy in this year's draft, like personally and professionally. What was he like to coach, and what kind of an impact do you think he's going to have on the next level?
I always told him he's one of the most, and there's a lot of guys that have been coachable, but he's one of the most coachable guys, one of the most likable guys that have ever been around. The vibes you're getting are what every single day in our facility was, you know. And he just, you know, number one, takes care of himself and makes sure he's pouring everything into himself, being the best he can be. But that's the way he was with the entire team. And he loved his teammates. He saw himself and the platform he had is being something even bigger than just the game. He was making a difference in the community, you know, whatever community service opportunities, the people he could impact and give a great experience to, he was all about it. And he's a pro in every way. A gym rat is what I've always said whenever I talk about he as well as some of our other guys. But he just loves the game. And, you know, he's going to take advantage of every opportunity he has because he's going to put the work in. So I'm super proud of him. I'm excited for him. He's a tough kid. He's going to do well there in Chicago, I have no doubt.
Man, everybody says that about him. Kalen, one last thought, not to be greedy, but I want to ask you about one game, just one game next year. I'm really interested in one game especially because we have a summer home in Eagle River, Wisconsin. We had a son that went to Wisconsin. I'm really fascinated by that non-conference game in September at Camp Randall Stadium to take on the Badgers. I know you're not focused on that, but can you at least give me a sense, what kind of an atmosphere in Madtown do you think you'll be getting for that matchup? That's a fascinating game to me.
Yeah, it is. That you know, Wisconsin football is known for the passion. You know, that stadium, I've been in it, not on game day, but I know just with the friends and experiences that I've had talking about playing there, that will be an environment that certainly we'll be walking into where we'll be tested. And, you know, they'll be certainly excited to have us coming into that place. And, you know, we obviously, like you said, have steps before that we got to take to make sure we're ready for that moment. But that's going to be a great challenge for us as a program. And especially us, you know, as a first year staff, just having our guys ready for that moment and that game.
Kalen, I'm pumped for you. I'm really pumped for you personally and professionally. I can't wait to see how your squad looks under you and your staff and your process. I so appreciate the friendship and the relationship, and it's so good to have you on the program. Thanks so much for doing that. Have a great rest of the summer, and I'll look for you really soon.
Yeah, that goes both ways, Jim. I appreciate you always having me on. And, You do such a great job. So thanks for everything, and Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Appreciate you, Coach. Kalen DeBoer. I'll tell you what I appreciate about Kalen DeBoer. Great coach. Great coach. Great leader. Great motivator. He recruited nationally at Washington, and you know he'll take advantage of the resources and opportunities he has right there. He's humble. I love everything about this guy. But again, it was like 5 minutes ago that we were having conversations about Fresno State. Blows out of there, goes to Washington, kills it there. And how about it happened in 24 hours? Can you imagine having to make a decision about your life in a 24-hour period? You know, that kind of a decision. You might say, what decision, Rome? Bama calls, you go. Maybe. Probably. But you are following Nick Saban. And he had an amazing thing going at Washington. And he loved it there. And he had it working. They were in the Natty. Nearly won the Natty. Great coach. But all of that aside, it's been a long time since I've spoken to the head coach at Alabama. So I love that he remembered the relationship, his roots, and not only did the show, but look at the way he just showed up. That was a long, thoughtful, insightful interview. Great stuff. And great to talk Alabama football on this show. My thanks to Kalen DeBoer. Man, that was a blast. I had so much fun with that. And he loves him some Michael Penix. As much as the Atlanta Falcons love them some Michael Penix. And my guy, Rome Odunze, everybody loves him. Everybody loves him. When we come back, the Big Head, James Kelly and I, do Big Head Bets. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.